Okay, good morning, friends, and once again, welcome to Cornerstone. My name's Matt. I'm one of our pastors here, and I felt the need to tell you my name this morning because typically I preach in here at 9:30 on Sunday mornings, but of course, this is not a typical time, and it hasn't been typical for a while, so it's been a while since we've seen each other, and I just imagine some of you kind of leaning forward, looking at your screens, kind of wiping them off a little bit, saying, it kind of looks like Paul, but It kind of doesn't. And if it is Paul, then, I mean, quarantine's been good for this guy. And, you know, he's taking his vitamins and his gym obviously opened up last week. But here's the thing. I'm really glad to be back with you this morning. And I've been excited because there's one simple thing that I just want to reflect on with you this morning. Just take a few minutes to reflect on one thing that seems to be becoming clear to us. And my guess is that it's become clear to you, and maybe you haven't put it in the same words that I'm going to put it, but I really think that we're seeing something happen in our culture and in our lives right now. During this time, when all kinds of unprecedented things are happening around us, it seems like we're becoming more and more open to the possibility of allowing unprecedented things to also happen inside of us. Okay, does this make sense? During this time when there are extraordinary things happening around us, we seem to be opening up our minds and our eyes and saying, okay, there are some things about the way that my life was that I'm not sure I want to carry into whatever the new normal is. And maybe some of these things are changes that you've known needed to happen for a while, or maybe they're things that your eyes are being opened up to for the first time, saying, that wasn't working. And I now see that, and I want things to be different. Or maybe for you, it's not on a personal level, but it's on a global level or maybe a societal level where you say there are things that aren't working in our world. And I knew it for a while, or maybe I'm just having my eyes open to it now, and I want those things to be different now. In this time, when unprecedented things are happening around us, it seems like we're opening our eyes and our minds more and more to the possibility that maybe some unprecedented things need to happen inside of us and through us. So if you're here this morning and you're thinking, yeah, I'm ready for some change. In my life, I'm ready for some change in the world. Then what I'm going to show you is I'm going to show you a group of people that also went through a season of unprecedented change and how it is that God worked in the midst of that season in them and through them to use them to make a huge impact on the lives of individuals and far beyond that, to make a huge impact in the world. So I don't know how it is that you're feeling this morning or how it is that things are being stirred inside of you, but my guess is that in some way, God wants to use this season of unprecedented change around you to make some unprecedented change within you. And I'm excited about digging into that this morning. So as we really get going with this deal, let me take a moment and pray for us. God, thank you for this time that we get to spend together. Thanks that we're gathered together, even if it's remotely, to study some scripture and to see how it is that you moved in the past and how it is that you might be moving today. Lord, take these words of mine and bring them to life. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, may they be pleasing to you, O Lord. You're our rock. And you're our Redeemer. We pray these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, let's play a quick game real quick. I'm going to give you a prompt, ask you a question, and then I can't hear you, but go ahead and respond out loud. It's just one or two words. What's one or two words that you would use, maybe that you have used, to describe this time? Okay, go ahead, say them out loud. Okay, some of you just said words in your home that you would have never said in this church building. You know what I'm talking about? Like, I hope the kids are in the other room. I can't hear you, but Santa Claus can, right? What are the words that you are using to describe this time? Is it that this is a historic moment or a trying moment? This is cray cray. What is it that you are using to describe this time? Well, one of the words that I guarantee you some of you used. I guarantee, this is like the blue ribbon word. This is the one that wins the prize for the most used word. And it's a word that I've already used. It's the word unprecedented. This is an unprecedented time. And of course, in many ways, that's true. It's unprecedented that we've had a shelter in place like this. It is unprecedented that we're seeing a global pandemic of this proportion. It's unprecedented that just a few weeks ago, we had real concern about our hospitals being overwhelmed and us not having capacity to care for people. It's unprecedented. But of course, in many ways, it's not unprecedented at all. We have had global pandemics of a greater proportion in the past, not in our generation, but previously. And they have overwhelmed hospital systems before. And of course, they have been, as they are now, in areas where there were no reliable hospitals anyway. And people have had a shelter in place before. Did you know that Isaac Newton, he had a shelter in place from the plague? He went and stayed at his parents' farm. Did you know that while he was sheltered in place, that's when he invented calculus? I mean, I didn't even know that calculus was something that needed to be invented. I thought that it was just something that was, like addition or subtraction. Somebody made that deal up. I put that on Instagram because I learned it homeschooling. That's how I learned that. And a buddy of mine wrote and said, as if I didn't already hate the plague enough, right? That's what gave us calculus also. Like, here's the thing. In some ways, it's unprecedented. And in some ways, it's not. People have been through these kinds of times before. And if we look at these kinds of unprecedented moments before, when people were experiencing things that they had never experienced previously, what we see over and over and over again is that those are seasons when people are ripe to experience change within them as things are changing around them. So let me ask you this, and then I'm going to show you this story. Let me ask you this. Is there something that you're passionate about seeing change in? Something that you are passionate about, some kind of change that you would like to see happen in your life? Or some kind of thing that you're passionate about, some kind of change that you'd like to see in our world or in our society? Is there something that you are passionate about, but yet you don't have the power to actually accomplish? You don't actually have the ability to make this change in your life or in the world as a whole. Is there something you're passionate about that you don't have the power to accomplish? If so, then you're not the first person to experience that. What I'm going to show you today is a story in the book of Acts. So if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. It's a story of a people who are experiencing unprecedented, uncanny, extraordinary change around them and what happened inside of them. And then what happened through them. So I'm going to be working out of my Bible some, and then up here on the screen some also. So if you've got your Bibles, great. If not, you can look up here with me. We're actually going to be starting a summer reading plan. We're starting that 2 weeks from tomorrow. And we're going to read the summer through the book of Acts together. You can go ahead and go to hpmc.org/Bible to find out more about that. I hope that you're going to jump into that reading plan. So this is what we'll read on day two. And this will kind of set the stage for that reading plan and speak to us today about how God might be working in our lives in extraordinary ways. Okay, so Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all gathered together in one place. Well, what's the day of Pentecost? Well, now it's a holy day in the Christian calendar, but at this time it wasn't. I mean, they're about to experience the first Pentecost. It was a Jewish festival. When they celebrated the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and when they celebrated Moses receiving the law, the Ten Commandments, and other things from God. So they're gathered together celebrating Pentecost, and they were together in one place. So who is it that was together? Well, it's certainly the 11 remaining disciples, and likely others who were the early followers of Jesus. You're talking about maybe 100 people here, okay? 120 people. And they're gathered together. Well, what are they doing? Well, we don't know exactly what they're doing, but we do know in general what they're doing. So what are they actually doing while they're sitting there? We don't know, but in general, we know exactly what they're doing because if you go back a page, I'm not going to show it to you up here, but if you go back a page to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you get the last commandment. I mean, how important is this? The last commandment that Jesus gives on the earth. The last thing that he tells his disciples, that's going to include you and I if we're followers of Jesus, the last thing that he tells them to do. He says, here's what you're going to do. You will be my witnesses. You're going to be a witness to me. In Jerusalem, that's the city that you're in all of Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, the last commandment that he gives. Go out and be my witnesses. And can you even imagine, talking about passion a minute ago, the passion that the disciples had around this? I mean, can you even imagine? Of course they want to do this. I mean, everything they saw out of Jesus for 3 years, and then not to mention him willingly going to the cross, and then his resurrection, then he's walking around with wounds, but he seems to be fine. Of course they want to tell people about Jesus. They've got a deep, deep down desire, passion to do this. But they don't actually have the ability to do this yet. I mean, you're talking about going to the ends of the earth? How in the world are we supposed to do that? Well, he actually said something before he said that. He said, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. So you're going to receive power from the Holy Spirit. You haven't received it yet, but you will. So what are they doing on the day of Pentecost? We don't know exactly, but they're certainly waiting. And if we know anything about this group of people, they are certainly praying that they will get the power to actually be able to do this last commandment of Jesus, the one thing that they are most passionate about. Think about what you're passionate about. For them, I want to tell people about what we have seen. They're together in that place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Again, remember this. We've talked about this before. Heaven is not a place far off. Okay, that's not the way that they're thinking about heaven. It's not a place where we're here and heaven's up there. Heaven is all around us. It's the spiritual realm all around us. And sometimes the divide between heaven and earth, it seems thin. You know, maybe you've had a spiritual experience that you can't explain and that maybe other people even think you're a weirdo for, right? That's a moment when the heavenly world and the earthly world were close and you experienced something. You know, when people are dying, you may have had loved ones that have experienced this, where they begin to see things and maybe they're hallucinating, or maybe the divide between the earthly world and the heavenly world is thin and they are seeing people that they will see in the heavenly world. And what happens here is that the divide between heaven and earth, it is completely ripped open. And into the room rushes a wind. Wind is closely associated in Greek and Hebrew with the word for spirit. And it says it's like a wind because they can't really describe it. I mean, you can't describe stuff like this. But something like a wind came rushing into the room. And it fell on the entire house where they were sitting. So all of a sudden, it's like heaven is ushered into that room with them. And divided tongues of fire, so little bits of fire, appeared on them and rested on each one of them. Okay, we're definitely using metaphors here, okay? Nobody can explain exactly what happened, but this is as close as we can get. It's like little tongues of fire came and rested on each of the people. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So God's presence now is not just around them. They're no longer just looking Jesus, the incarnation of God, in the eyes, but God is now where? It has filled them. And they began to speak in other tongues. So they began to speak other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. That's an important part. They weren't given this ability because it's a cool party trick. They were given this ability because the Spirit was giving them utterances. The Spirit was giving them words to speak in these other languages. Well, why was the Spirit giving them that? Well, think about this. They had this passion to get out there and to tell people about what's happened with the resurrection. That's what they want more than anything, but they don't have the power to be able to do it. Well, why not? Because I'm not going to show it to you, but in the next few verses, you can read that on your own. There are people in Jerusalem that speak dozens of different languages. And all of the apostles, the 11 of them, they're all from Galilee, northern Israel. They all speak the same language. They don't have the ability to get out there and to actually do this. They don't have the power to do it. But now, they do. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes, they do have that power. But let's just say on their own, they had downloaded Rosetta Stone or something like that, right? Which is what some of you are doing during quarantine, okay? And they had learned all of these languages. Let's say God gave them a year to learn all of these languages. There's still something else that's stopping them. And you know what that is? These guys. Look, they're good guys, and they're passionate, but they're not very bold. I mean, they all tucked tail and ran when Jesus was being crucified. They all left, and now they are inspired. They are motivated by the resurrection, but they're still scared. They don't have the courage. They don't have the boldness to execute on this, even if they have the power. Some of you have things that you're passionate about that you want to see happen, and some of you can't get it done because you don't have the ability, and some of you can't get it done because you have the ability, but you're scared. The Holy Spirit meets them and gives them the ability to speak in these languages, and he emboldens them. Notice this. They are not simply inspired by God. They are actually changed from the inside out to be able to do things they were not able to do before. To speak in those languages, and you go down just a few verses, and all of a sudden, Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed a big crowd. This is the guy who 40 days before was turning tails and running when just a few people were asking him if he knew Jesus. Three times, just a few people asked him if he knew Jesus, and he denied it, and then he ran away. And now, 40 days later, all of a sudden, he's standing up. I love the picture of the other 10 flanking him on either side. When you go to Jerusalem, you can see the spot where this might have happened, on the southern steps of the Temple Mount. Standing there, and this man who used to be a coward, standing there and boldly addressing the crowd. And he said, look, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose. See, when they started speaking these languages, people thought that they were drunk. They didn't really know what to do with this. I mean, this is crazy. This is unprecedented what's happening around them. I don't know what kind of wine they had in the first century that gave them the ability to speak other languages, but this is what some of the people think. These guys, they're just drunk. And then he said, since it's only the third hour of the day, which means it's 9 a.m., they're not drunk. You know they're not drunk? It's just 9 a.m. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. And then you know what Peter does? Peter then begins to go through all the prophets of the Old Testament, and he gives a speech where he slowly unpacks for the people that Jesus was predicted by the prophets all along, and that Jesus who had come, who had lived among them, and who was crucified, had indeed risen from the dead, and he was indeed the Christ, the Messiah that they had been waiting for. Peter, this man who was before so afraid, is now bold enough to stand before them and to do that. You can read his speech on your own, but after the speech was over, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the other 10 apostles, brothers, what do we do? We believe what you're saying. I mean, can you imagine this? I mean, this sounds like craziness, but again, the Holy Spirit's at work doing unprecedented things. And people believe this, and they say, what do we do? And Peter said to them, what you do is you repent. It wasn't a religious word. It just simply meant turn away from whatever it is that's leading you away from God. Turn away from that and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be baptized and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Right there around those steps that I mentioned a minute ago, they've excavated and they found all kinds of ritual baths that the Jews used before they went into the temple. And you can picture the apostles spreading out to these baths and people, men and women, coming up one by one to be baptized in those waters and begin to experience the same thing that the apostles experienced. For the promise, this is Peter again, is for you. This promise isn't just for us, it's for you. And it's for your children, and it's for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord, our God, calls to himself. And that day, if you skip down just a little bit, there were added that day about 3,000 souls. About 3,000 men and women came to believe that Jesus was the Messiah that day and were baptized. Which just is insane. I mean, when you look, this is one of the things that makes me believe in this whole Jesus thing. Yeah, I've told you this before. I was a biology major. I mean, things need to make sense rationally for me. I need to understand how all of this works, how there's internal coherence to the Christian argument. I need to understand that. One of the things that makes me believe all of this is that the growth of Christianity over the first couple of centuries in the first centuries AD, is unprecedented, and it's unreplicated. There hasn't been anything like it since, and there wasn't anything like it before. So if that growth was unprecedented and unreplicated, then perhaps what catalyzed that unprecedented growth was an unprecedented event. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, you have to explain it somehow. Well, what if the way that you explain something that is unprecedented is by saying that it was the resurrection, and then the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church, that actually made this happen. 3,000 people. Okay. All right. Now, if you look at this, and then you pull it out, and you don't look just at this story, but you look at larger, what's happening here, do you see what's happening? You have a group of people that are filled with human passion. They want to tell people about Jesus more than anything that you or I probably want to do. I mean, imagine everything that they've seen. But you know about human passion. You know about something that you want to see happen in your life or the life of somebody else or the life of a society. You know about human passion. But so often, human passion, we don't have the power to actually accomplish it. This is a story of what happens when human passion collides with God's power. Oh, man. And when those two things come together, that's when unbelievable stuff starts to happen. Because God can work apart from human beings, okay? God is able to do that. But for whatever reason, God tends to choose to not work in a vacuum, but work through everyday, ordinary people like the two of us. And when you see human passion and God's power come together, that's when you see unprecedented change. That's when you see things happen that have not happened before. At times that have not happened in history, like in Acts 2, but at times things that have happened in history, but that haven't happened in our lifetime, or that haven't happened in our lives. That change that you so desire to see happen in your life. Maybe it can't happen because you've got the passion, but you're still waiting for God's power to break into your life and to give you that ability. And maybe it's not even the ability, it's the boldness, it's the courage to be able to do it. And again, I think that many of us are at that place where we say that what this is revealing to us is that the old way just wasn't working. I mean, it just wasn't working. And what this has revealed to me is that all the promises that the world makes about what will make me fulfilled, that those are promises that the world cannot actually deliver on, and I'm not going to buy that nonsense anymore. Some of us are opening our eyes and our minds up to the first time. This is stripping back the facade, and we are seeing actually the deepest needs that I have are spiritual needs that nothing physically is going to meet, and I need something greater than myself and something greater than anything that I can acquire on my own to actually fix this inside of me, to actually give me the joy that I so deeply desire. And some of us are seeing that not just from an individual perspective, but that global perspective. The deepest needs of the world as a whole and our deepest problems are not physical problems. They're rooted in spiritual issues. And I don't mean spiritual in some kind of pie in the sky, mumbo jumbo way. I mean spiritual as in it's rooted in the hearts and the souls and the minds of men and women. Our biggest issues in the world are things that need to be changed inside of individuals. And that's what will lead to the large scale corporate change that we want to see in our country. Many of us are saying, okay, look, it's time for us as a country to move past all of this bickering. And we can be a people who are civilized enough to actually have honest discourse. Many of us are at a place where we're saying we don't want to be a society where we all pretend to agree all the time. But we also don't want to be a society where we just jaw at each other. Many of us, because of the unprecedented things that are happening around us, we are saying we want to see unprecedented change in our lives and unprecedented change in our countries. Amen, right? Isn't that where so many of us are? Look, here's the thing. In a moment of unprecedented change around us, this is what God wants. God wants to do unprecedented change within us and through us also. Do you sense that, friends? Do you feel that? Do you know that it is time for us to see significant change in our lives and around us? And do you recognize, do you know that the passion that you have for that change, it has to be met. The only way it will be accomplished is it has to be met by a power that will come from beyond you. A power to give you the ability and a power to give you the courage. See, I think that we are poised for revival. I think that we are poised as a nation to see the Holy Spirit sweep through our country as it has not in a really, really long time. I think that we are poised to see God do things in the lives of individuals, men and women and children and teenagers, in big and bold and powerful ways. And I think that we are poised to see that kind of revival in our country as a whole, to bring us back to civility and to bring us back to being rooted in God. And that doesn't mean that to be a country where everybody has to worship in the same way. It doesn't mean that. But I think that we are poised for a revival in our nation that will turn us towards love of God and love of other people. I think we're poised for that. There's this famous story about a guy who wanted that. He wanted revival. And he went and he talked to a mentor of his. And his mentor said, if you want to see revival, here's what you do. Just this one thing. You go home, you get a piece of chalk. You draw chalk in a circle in your bedroom. And then you get inside of that circle and you get down on your knees and you pray that God will bring revival inside of the circle. Revival starts in the hearts and it starts in the minds of individuals. It starts in the hearts and it starts in the minds of people like me and people like you. This is how this starts. So what all of this is driving towards is I'm going to make a very, very simple ask for all of us. And it's just that we do this. It's simple, but it's also something that I know that many of us are not going to do because it's simple, but it's hard. And just the fact that this is hard should tell you something about how powerful it is. I'm going to ask that for an indefinite period of time, that all of us spend 5 minutes a day on our knees in prayer. There's nothing magical about being on our knees, and some of you have medical conditions where you can't even do that. Do that in your spirit. There's nothing magical about being on our knees, but there is something that helps to orient our hearts in the right way when we're on our knees in prayer. Maybe it's 5 minutes straight in the evening. Maybe it's 1 minute five times a day. 5 minutes in prayer on our knees, praying that God will work unprecedented change in our lives and unprecedented change through our lives. And let's see what God does with that. I mean, just the simple fact that many of us know that we won't do that shows you how powerful this could be. Because think about how many things you spend 5 minutes doing a day, but there is something inside of us that pushes against this. But doing this can be utterly life-changing. So friends, what we've seen is that we're living in a time that is unprecedented for us. And a time that is unprecedented for us means that we are ripe to see unprecedented change within us and around us. We're living in that season. And what we're gonna do is we're gonna spend 5 minutes in prayer a day on our knees waiting for God, just like the apostles did, waiting for God. And then you know what we're going to do? We're going to see what God does with that. I am thoroughly convinced that when your passion is met with God's power, that unprecedented things will happen in you and will happen through you. And I cannot wait to see how it is that God works in all of our lives. Friends, it's good to be with you. And I know that you're praying for this church and know that the pastors and the staff up here, that we are praying for you. And we can't wait to be back together physically, but until we are, we know that just as God worked with just a handful of people gathered in a room 2,000 years ago, God can work in your living room or your apartment or your break room or wherever it is that you are. God is there with you. Will you take a few minutes today, beginning today, to wait on him on your knees and see what it is that he does with your passion when he infuses his power. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this time. Thank you that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you are with us and that you are just nudging us, Lord, to spend time waiting for you. And Lord, help us not to make this about ourselves, but help this to be about what you can do in us and what you can do through us. You are good. You are righteous. You are holy, and we trust you. We trust you with our lives. We trust you with our city. We trust you with our families. We trust you with our country. And we just want to say that we want to be instruments that you use. So change us and use us to make change in the world. God, we love you. We pray these things in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you, friends.